Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey everyone, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight Podcast, where we shine a light on CEOs and visionaries and their talents. And today I am very excited to welcome with us Gregory Furrer. He is the CEO at Baratung Advisors and can be found at Baratung Advisors, B-E-R-A-T-U-N-G, advisors.com. So welcome to the show.
My pleasure, and it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. We love that. Okay, so before we get started, why don't you tell us an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
Yeah, one of my, if you've been an icebreaker with me, you probably know because it's always my traditional icebreaker, but at one point in time, I was the youngest elected official in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
At the time, I was 21. And there was somebody who had been elected prior to that. And about a year into office, there was a kid that was elected mayor at 18. So he beat me out for that. But now I actually hate politics and don't pay attention to politics. But it's just kind of funny how life changes.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Not many people can say that at 21, especially. Most people were, popping a beer. Why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
Yeah, so we run a financial planning firm, and one of the things we say that's different about us is we're a financial planning firm that happens to do investment management when people want it or need it, as opposed to the predominant model in our industry where people are investment management firms that happen to do financial planning if clients want it or need it. One of the other parts about that is we provided a subscription-based model. So a lot of times for less than a cable bill, you can hire a CFP professional. A lot of people think they need to have $1 million or $2 million. We're working with busy working professionals, especially small business owners. So many small business owners don't have access to good financial advice because they don't have millions of dollars in their 401k. It's in their business.
Right.
And the advisors that are giving them advice are hoping that they sell their business and get a payday. What if you're somebody like me that wants my business to become a nonprofit and I'm not going to have that payday? So in other words, we're given access to people that normally don't get access to financial advice.
Interesting concept. And I really love how you spin something that is out there, right? Like, so real estate agents, there's 1 million of them, right? They're financial planners, there's 1 million of them. But it looks like what you're doing is very different. So who is your ideal customer? Who would be the optimal person that you would want to work with, that would want to work with you?
Yeah, so we work with busy working professionals. They're typically 35 to 55. They're typically two W-2 income earners. They typically have two children, and they typically own a second property or want to own a second property. And then the other one we focus on is same as busy working professionals, but they're busy working professionals that are visionary business owners. Mm-hmm. I always like to joke around, if you've ever seen Tommy Boy, I work with visionary business owners because I'm one of them and I know them, right? And so that's kind of a play on that. So those are kind of our two target markets we work with.
There's 1 million lines we can pull from that. Small jacket. Small jacket. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a CEO? What got you going down this road, especially since you took a U-turn from politics?
Yeah, I have a lot of what I call Nineveh moments. So in my faith tradition, there's this guy, he's on a boat. He's not going where God wants him to go. And God's like, you're going to go to this town called Nineveh. He doesn't listen. This giant whale comes and swallows him, spits him up in Nineveh. So on our team, we call these moments when you don't want to do something, but you get this kind of like tug or pull. So there's a lot of tugs and pulls. I actually never wanted to be a business owner. I was very into my company. But it's funny, when I resigned my company and started my business, the guy I went to resign to, my boss, was like, I saw this coming. I'm like, man, did you know I would start this business? He's like, no, I always knew you'd be a business owner. I was just hoping it would happen the day after you retire. And my wife and I were doing a history of our company a couple of years ago. We're recording it. And she's like, I remember the day I got married to you. You said you're going to be a small business owner. I'm like, No, I actually have journals. I journal this. Like, that is not what I told you. I still remember the day I told you I wanted to start a business, but it is innate my personality. Every person thought I'd be a small business owner. So then my
Yeah.
journey starts with my dad. My dad was had multiple businesses. I was a mistake, or as my brothers would call it, as my mom would call it, a pleasant surprise.
A blessing is what
Yeah.
we've said in our family.
Unforeseen blessing, right? But it worked out in my favor because my dad at that point in time was already successful in some of his businesses. So I became his right-hand man. I went and sat in business meetings. I sat in quarterly reviews. I sat in his accountants meetings, his financial planning meetings. And so that's really where I learned about business. But what compelled me was there was a bunch of different moments. But my moment of clarity, the straw that broke the camel's back, I had a voicemail from my largest client. So I was working for a big bank as a financial planner. And I had a voicemail from a financial planner at another firm that I can't make any money off. Like, he comes to this firm, I can't make money on him. And he just had a question about financial planning. And a financial planning nerd in me returned his voicemail before my clients. And that's when I realized I love financial planning. But what I really love is empowering other financial planners. And what I realized was I always thought I was motivated by success. And my true motivator is impact. And so one of the things we say all the time for our company is we want to have an impact so great that our community would weep if we closed our doors. Well, to have
Right.
that impact, if I could only serve maybe 100 to 120 households as a financial planner, but what if I could serve 100 to 120 financial planners who then serve 100 to 120 families, who those families know another 200 people whose lives are impacted because the number one reason for stress, the number one reason for divorce, and number one reason for suicide in America are often cited as money issues. So
Yeah.
if you can relieve that, that's that impact. So that's kind of what's made me start my own business.
That's great. I love that. You've probably screwed up a lot of things along the way, like most business owners have, because hey, that's just part of, growing a business. But before we talk about the mistakes you've made, why don't you tell us something that you did right?
Yeah, I'll tell you about the mistakes part first, though. I had a mentor of mine. His name was Greg also. And it was one of those moments in time that paused. And he said, "Greg, you know what the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people?" I boiled it down to one thing. I go, "What's that, Greg?" Again, I'm not talking in third person, talking to him. He said, "Successful people simply make more mistakes." So I have a ton of mistakes. I could talk a lot longer. But I think the thing that we did right was before I started the company, I spent an exorbitant amount of time creating our name, our logo, our mission, our core values, and our vision. Every single part of that was clearly defined before we ever did anything, before I even created an LLC. I mean, I ordered fake logos, like, fake shirts and stuff in to see what it looked like on everything. And a lot of times there's this advice out there to, especially to visionary entrepreneurs, go out and launch it already. Like, if you're no. Somebody like me needs, I'm a Colby, I'm a very high quick start. I
Yeah.
like need the opposite advice. People need to tell me, like, "Greg, don't start the business yet. Don't go with that idea yet." So I think that often when you work with visionary entrepreneurs, they get this advice that all these non, because we're less than 5% of the population. And they get this advice that's for the 95% of the population saying, "Well, if you already have an idea," like, no, it's like, "Greg, wait till 70% before you launch." Where everyone else, it's like, "Hey, if it's 70%, you gotta launch." So that different advice. And I am so grateful that I've done that. And I have coached so many other entrepreneurs who have started their companies, both in financial planning and outside. Because once you have that ethos, once you have that core, you have your North Star. And it can change over time, by the way. We just updated we have no sacred cows. It's a big EOS thing, right? No sacred cows, always for the greater good of the company. And so one of the things we always do is we're always evolving. So we just updated our core values. Our core values didn't change. The terminology changed because we realized the terminology to the explanation wasn't clear enough.
Right.
So we changed them around, but the ethos didn't change. So if there was anything I did correct in all my years of business, and I made a ton of mistakes in 8 years, I would tell you it was setting the core values, knowing what we stood for and why we stood for it before we ever opened the doors.
And I mean, I'm going to make this analogy because it's like relationships are an easy analogy, but it sounds like you knew what you were looking for before you put that profile together, before you put yourself out there, before you went on your very first date. So that you didn't spend a bunch of time dating all of the wrong people, right? When you said that you started out with the logo, I found that really funny. Do you remember? Because I've been in marketing for years and years, and I've done, opened and started a ton of companies. But I used to go to 99 Designs. You paid $99 and you'd get like a whole bunch of. Now you've got all these different other programs. But by chance, did you ever use that?
I didn't, but like multiple different people I've coached on this have. So what happened was, so I wrote a Jerry Maguire style thesis. Like it was literally at night, just like Jerry Maguire, and it was completely like unattainable, right? This whole profession's messed up, right? And I was talking about what I just said, like, what about the small business owner whose business is worth $10 million, but he doesn't have $1 million in investments, so nobody wants to give him advice, right? And what's he doing for the economy and why that person needs great advice? So he took this whole thing and he boiled it down to a couple things, right? And that's how he helped me as a consultant. But one of the things when it came to logo, he's like, I'm going to create a lighthouse. And I'm like, listen, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that does what I do has either a lighthouse, a mountain, or an anchor. So that's like not going to happen. Actually, the two voices in my profession I follow the most came together on a joint podcast. It was like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird doing a podcast together. I was like, what? And the first episode was like, can we stop making lighthouses logos? And so, and this was like after I created this one, but he's like, it's authentic to you. He goes, like, there's like three adjectives, whether you like me or don't like me, that people always describe me. Authentic is one of them. Passion's another one, right? And so he's like, you're an authentic person. You love lighthouses. You have lighthouses all over your house. You love nautical things. And if you keep explaining this financial planning, that the problem is people think they're on smooth sailing and they're coming ashore and they don't realize it's going to get shallow. He's like, if you don't do a lighthouse, it's not true to who you are. And he convinced me, and it was, he goes, we're going to create a custom lighthouse. So I will tell you, the lighthouse that we have, 99 Designs was probably a half of what he did for me. I felt bad for him. We kept redoing it. I actually still have a piece of paper with like the final four drawings and sketched in pencil that I keep because it's fun. But it's I think it's important because it has a lot of meaning. And every Tuesday, our team recites what our logo means and all the details of our logo. One thing about our logo, by the way, try to convince me like different colors make you feel different ways. Mine are simple. They're my college's colors. So that part, but it has meaning, you know?
No, GCE, Ken just loves red and black, right? So that's why he has red and black. But
That's his children's name, right?
yep, exactly.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then, one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
So how many employees do you have?
Eight.
Eight. Okay. And so what strategies are you using to try to build strong and effective teams? Obviously, I heard you drop EOS in there. You must have some knowledge of that. What are we doing to help grow these employees and help them be effective?
Yes, we do. This is part of what our big thing is. We are a culture-based company. And I don't just say that. I know it's cliche, but like people, what I'm usually asking on podcasts is to talk about culture and core values. Like that's our thing. You can physically feel our culture when we're here. So we're very intentional. That's the other adjective I always get from people. So one of the biggest things is EOS. We spent 6 years self-implementing EOS. I remember reading the book Traction the first time, and I read it like 24 times in a row because I was just like, this is amazing. My dad, who was not living at the time, ran his whole business on traction because he discovered it from his father. My dad was running his business all the same principles. It just wasn't a thing back then. It wasn't called this, right? And they didn't have names for it. You know, he called his scorecard his daily recalls. Like, you know, there was, but it was basically the same type of thing.
That's
So
pretty cool. I mean, go dad.
exactly. That's why I was a successful business owner. So I learned that. We implemented it and it was a disaster because a prophet's never honored in their hometown. You need that other person in the room. So I was visiting a mentor of mine that grew from $10 million to $20 million in 10 years in revenue. And I said, if you could boil it down to one thing, just one thing, he was like, hire an EOS implementer. We literally got in the car driving home, hiring an EOS implementer and a ride at home. So that's been extremely impactful. The second thing that we did was I hired somebody right off the bat. It was a horrible hire. Great person, right person, absolute wrong seat. Like I need him as assistant. They had no detail, right? It was disastrous. So then I decided in the meantime, we're a family business, so my wife's gonna work for me. That lasted less than a month, right? Which is not ungood. She actually now works for the company because we've matured as a company to where we had a spot for her, but she was the right person, wrong seat spot. So I'm really big into hiring slow and firing fast. We have our whole hiring process on our website. It's about 9 interviews. We can do 4 different tests before somebody comes on board. So we're pretty protective of it, and we do fire fast. We actually had a point where this time last year we were 15 and we're at 8. And we fire fast. And that has never been a problem. We actually thought we had a turnover problem. We realized we just actually fire fast. Nobody else does. So we're very protective of that culture. So the first major great hire I had, who became our integrator of our company, I did not want to hire her. And so I hired this consultant to use Predictive Index. And we eat, sleep, live, and die by Predictive Index. We use other ones, but that is our main hiring source, is Predictive Index. And we didn't like her. She didn't do well in the interviews. She didn't like the background. The Predictive Index consultant calls me, goes, "Hey, you need to hire this person." I'm like, "No, I'm not." He goes, "You're paying me a lot of money to give you advice. Well, what are your clients and listen to your advice?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I'll hire her." So I go and I hire her. Call, she turns me down. So I call him. I was in a car with my brother traveling to North Carolina for a Pitt ACC championship. I remember like yesterday. And I was like, "Hey, I'm sorry. I'm gonna be rude and make a phone call. At least put on speakerphone because the rudest thing to do is talk. Somebody else can't hear the other end of it." And I call him. I was like, "Hey, she turned me down. I'm not hiring. I'm hiring someone else. This is too important. We've been 3 months in this process. My wife's losing her mind. We're too busy." He's like, "No, this is what you said." I'm like, "Oh yeah." And he goes, "This is what she said back." I go, "Oh yeah." He's like, "You're gonna call her and say this and this," and she's gonna. And I called her, and she accepted right on the spot. And so that's when I realized the power of predictive indexes. Realized that we're all wired differently from our creator, and so that's one of our key core things we do. Another big thing we do is we do a values index, attributes index, a Colby. We do Working Genius and a lot of other ones, StrengthFinders. And StrengthFinders and Colby are once again on a team. But we do a lot of that. But one of the biggest things we do is before we hire somebody, before we make the final offer, we have a dinner with their spouses or significant others,
Find out
along with,
what goods on them.
well, because that person is part of we, the cliche of like we're a family. Like, no, we genuinely look at our business as a family. We our first core values together. We do life together. Everything we do is together. Like, I want to be at your funerals. I want to be at your baptisms. I want to be at your weddings. Like, we are a tight-knit family. We always say it's not how big we want to grow, it's how small we want to stay. So if you're going to join our family, I want to know who's joining our family. But we bring the entire leadership team with their spouses. And that breaking bread together is one of the most important things you can do. You can tell so much about a person. So that's just some of the small ways how we keep people growing and developing is everyone has a growth plan. It's looked at. We have what's called the Bear Tongue Book Camp. It's 300 books you need to read by time you die. And everyone reads a book each quarter. We actually have a conference we host for our team. We bring leaders across the country to pour into our team for a couple days. We send people out for leadership development. So that's kind of how we do that.
So rewind, do you have an integrator, or are you the integrator?
Now I'm the visionary. Yeah. For God, nobody would want me as an integrator. I'd probably make the world's worst integrator. Yes, we do have an integrator. They're actually looking to move to a different seat, and we're going to be actually hiring a new integrator in the next year or 2 years. So.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay. So then now let's shift gears and talk a little bit about leadership. So you seem to have a rock solid way in how you operate your business, but we often know that how you operate a business and how you lead a business are two different things. So, as a leader, we all know that there's moments of doubt or uncertainty. Did I make the right call? Was that fire the right fire? Did that hire the right hire? Whatever the decision or thought it is, but how do you personally handle moments of doubt or uncertainty?
Yeah, and that's why our first core value and why I put them in order when I started the company is together. So I have an entire group of leaders. So first off, I have an advisory board. So it's not a board of directors, we're an S Corp, but I have leaders get together once a quarter. I write a very detailed CEO letter, share all our financials and everything, and get their advice. I belong to several different mastermind groups of business leaders. So I'm in the Strategic Coach Program by Dan Sullivan. I'm at Truth at Work, which is like Christian Vistage Light, is how I like to describe it. And
Wait,
I
rewind. What was that one? I haven't heard that one before.
Truth at Work.
Truth and work. Okay, gotcha.
So it's like Vistage Light. So it's not as high requirements for income. And so it's not just business owners, it's business leaders. And but it's faith-based. So it's a really
No,
good
and I
one.
like that. I like that.
Similar to C12 and Convene. They're all three kind of similar, but a little bit different. Was in a local one here for 10 years and just we just dissolved it, but it was called L3 Mastermind. So I have a ton of business leaders. And very similar, if you've read the book Think and Grow Rich, and he talks about he has this made up board of directors in his head, and Abe Lincoln's on there, and he gets his personality. I also have people I individualize call. So, like, my sister-in-law Gail is the chief finance officer on my board of directors. Like I said, I just have like these different people I call. You gotta have business owners that are in the trenches. And I learned it from my dad. My dad was always hosting business owners. My wife and I are extremely intentional about bringing business owners into our lives. Going this weekend, I'm going skiing with one of my closest confidants, and then we share business ideas because leadership is difficult. But business owner and leader is a whole nother realm of difficulty, a whole nother realm of experiences. My wife just recently started a group we call it Woven Wives of Visionaries. So her and other visionary wives.
I love that name. I want to see the
If I had to share something, I could share it to you real quick. We just
logo
got the
for Woven.
preliminary logo back, but it has got a lot of context to it that God's woven into our lives as a faith-based group. And but yeah, it's important because she says it's like it's crazy to be married to a visionary, right? And God does this weird thing where he brings like two opposite personalities together. So you have to have that support network because there are times, and everyone says it's easy for me to fire. No, it's just not as hard as other people. I still get sick to my stomach having a talk to them, but I truly believe it's an act of love. That's a whole other thing to go on. But you have to have that support system around you. So I'm blessed with a great leadership team. I am blessed with great leaders that I always have to say I stand on the shoulders of giants that I can call them at any point in time and ask them, hey, I just need advice. And I think if you don't have that, there's two things my advice is. One, ask for it. Like find somebody you admire and say, hey, I'm struggling. I need help. You got to be vulnerable, right? You have to ask, be vulnerable. And then this third part is, excuse me, there's two other parts, but the third part is you have to show them ROI. So when somebody pours into my life, every year, my year in retreat, I go in the woods for 4 days. I list the 10 most impactful people in my life, and I write them a very detailed handwritten thank you note. I also look at the most impactful mentors of my entire life, and they might not even be in my life anymore. And I write them a thank you note, and very specific. You gave me this advice, which therefore led to this. Thank you for doing that. And then the other part is you got to pour back into them.
And I think a huge theme, especially in 2025, and especially from the CEOs and visionaries I've been interviewing in 2025, is this work, yes, mentorship, yes, group support, yes. But there's this huge balance side that has started to come into play. And I never used to hear CEOs say the B word. It was pound, 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 work, 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 And I do think that CEOs realize they need to focus on their health. They have to be focused on their mental health. They have to be in their best, like, possible self, whether that means taking a trip in the woods for 4 days or, going on a breathwork retreat. Things that a lot of these CEOs would never have admitted, much less do. And I think it's really like, are you noticing that as well? Like a
Yeah.
shift in the modern day visionary.
I think it's absolute because you know what? I think there's programs out there. If Strategic Coach calls them free days, EOS calls them clarity breaks, but pretty much every program you're getting coaching and feed from is talking about this because it's an amazing thing that when you take more days off, you actually make more money. There's a we follow what's called the entrepreneurial time system. So I take 150 free days, and my free days from midnight to midnight, nobody is allowed to get a hold of me. It's just as much for me as it is for my team. They have to solve their own problems. How do you get to a self-managing company? You don't own a business unless you have a self-managing company. I can't believe how many business owners I talk to that think they can sell their business. What they're selling is themselves. How do you leave that business? If the business is dependent on you, you're selling you and not a business. That is not a business. So one of my goals is on our 10th anniversary, I'm taking a 30-day sabbatical. Not because I don't love the work. I'm a workaholic. Most visionaries are because I need to be able to just understand that my company is a self-managing company. And if it's not, I got to figure out those problems. And so I do think it's a huge thing. And I think that it's one of the hardest things to get an entrepreneur to start doing. But I think once they do, it's easy. I was blessed because my dad did that and my dad taught it to me. And so even with that, it's still hard for me the first couple of years. You know how it is. And there's always gonna be a problem tomorrow. You know, I'm a big believer in 18 summers. My wife's from front always says, like, I hate that. I'm just as close to my mom as I was when I was 18. But like, you got 18 summers that nobody is gonna go to their grave. And that's why you gotta write your obituary. That's why you gotta start at the end of mine. You gotta constantly, every single day, I read our core values, I read my affirmation statements, I read my personal VTO, and I also read my companies because we run our family on EOS as well as our business. Every single day, you gotta like recalibrate. In my faith, we call it die anew every single day. And I think that that's what a clarity break does. That's what time off does. You get your fresh ideas. You can solve problems better. You feel less pressure. I always say there's when I'm helping other entrepreneurs, and I pour a lot into other people because I want them to pour a lot into me. There's two things when you have a problem. I always say, like, have you journaled it through? Because a lot of times you journal, you solve 90% of the problems. And the other thing is, have you given yourself time to think about it? Like, no problem's an emergency. Wait.
I agree. So where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
As always, my favorite place is in my people. So we're just constantly, our leadership team, we just got all the money into a new mastermind group for them. We're revamping and putting more money into our annual conference we do, opening up more conferences. Our integrators go to the EOS conference this year. A couple other people go to different conferences. So I always want to put back into my team members that, you know, there's a trucking company on the side of the road. So it's like our best asset's like 90 feet ahead of you. And it's like an arrow pointing the driver. So that's always the place we want to put resources first. We're invested pretty heavily into fintech, which is financial technology. I said another podcast, I'm gonna promise not to stop calling myself a fintech nerd and call myself a tech forward planner, but I love technology. So we have a couple different softwares we're vetting. And the other big one, and this has always been a heavy spend for us, but we're rapidly increasing it, is social media. Our best referrals are from social media. I actually like the better referrals from clients because it's the right client. What you heard how specific I am about who we serve. I don't want to sit down with somebody that's not who I serve. When we get people from social media, they already know what we are, what we stand for, and they know what problem we're solving. So it's those are our favorite ones. So we already spent a lot on social media marketing and videos, and we built a six-figure studio last year in our offices. And we're just doubling down on all that.
All right. So if you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self, a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
More dry powder.
More what?
More dry powder. So, you know, I drained my life savings. I burned boats. That's how I'm wired. And that wasn't the issue. Was the issue was how fast I wanted to get there. You know, one of my mentors always said, visionaries drive themselves not because of the goal, but because of the time frame of the goal. And I put all undue pressure. I end up in a panic attack. It's like every entrepreneur or visionary I know. I was like, never thought it would happen to me. Next thing you know, I'm curled up on a couch, and my wife's calling mentors in my life to come over and help me, right? And it was all like pressure. Like I wanted to grow faster, and I need to grow faster. And if I would just extended that out, right? Just extended that out. So dry powder is not just money powder. It was dry powder and times and everything. Just I wish I would have been. I had a 10-year vision, right? Like that's again, when I read Traction, it was like, I have a 10-year vision. It's just that I want a 10-year vision done in 3 years. You know, that's where before I got my
Well, you're like
implementer.
everyone else, right?
Yeah. So that's the only
We're in
thing I
a
would do
now
all over.
society.
The advice I give to people though is typically different than what I give to myself, a lot of other visionaries. Because I always say, like, here's what I would do over again, here's what I did right, here's what I made mistakes, but also here's what you need to hear. So that's always a different one, you know, like, but that's definitely to be dry powder.
Interesting. Okay, two more quick questions. What is one book or resource that you would recommend to another CEO or visionary that is not Traction or Think or Grow Rich or something by Dan Sullivan?
Wow. So there's always a standard joke around me, like, how many, I have an encyclopedic knowledge of books. I read, like, last year was 115 books. I think I'm at 19 for this year already. But hands down, the book to change my entire life. Rock, it's called EOS Life. It's a Gino Wickman book. It breaks it down to five principles. Do what you love with the people you love, making a reasonable compensation while having an impact on this world, while still having time to pursue your other passions. We completely changed everything we were doing in our company last year because of those five principles. I now constantly live my life in those five principles. As an entrepreneur, it's been the most impactful book from an entrepreneurial standpoint of view I've ever read in my life.
Interesting. You know, nobody asked me questions because I'm the host. I always ask the questions, but I'm going to throw one in today because it was an amazing book. I'm in sales. I have a long history in sales. My dad was a car salesman. I grew up on a car lot just listening to him, you know, so it like got embedded in my DNA. And it was actually from Chris Voss, and it was Never Split the Difference.
So we
And
call that
he
here at Baratung. We call that the gospel according to Chris Voss. The book, the only book I've read more than Never Split the Difference is Think and Grow Rich. It's one of our gospels. So
I just loved, and I use that one of his lines all the time where, you know, have you given up on fill in the blank? Have you given up on buying a house? And like almost always they respond, or if you haven't talked to a friend in a while, like, have you given up on our relationship? No, I'm sorry, I've been busy. It's like,
So,
it's
have
so
you done
great.
his masterclass?
No,
It's
I have
worth
not.
a
No, I did see the TEDx
it's
though.
worth the $200 of masterclass for an entire year subscription just to run. So we run our entire team through it every year. It is unbelievable. You watch him with somebody do the same stuff on her that she knows is coming, and she still can't help herself. It is just unbelievable. Highly, highly recommend the masterclass by Chris Voss.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, well, this was really great. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, they want to learn more about what you do, what should they do?
Absolutely. Best way to get a hold of me is on LinkedIn. I hate email. So LinkedIn, I can filter who talks to me. So if you're a business leader and you just want advice and you want help, go there. If you're somebody who wants financial planning help, go to our website, go right to the top, start planning today. It's a giant button. There's call to actions all through our site, start planning today. And you can actually, without even talking to me, within 5 minutes, start the basic part of a financial plan. And we'll reach out to you within 24 business hours after that. But those are two ways to get a hold of us. If you want to go ahead and start planning with us and you need help, we'd love to be there for you. If you just want to reach out to me, you need advice, mentor, guidance. I've been through it. You know, it's another business owner, another visionary. Reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Thank you. All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the Shift Spotlight. We really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.